What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, January 25th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The Federal CARES Act passed last March gave cash-strapped homeowners the opportunity to postpone payments on their federally backed mortgages for up to a year. Many borrowers were able to resume payments after a few months, but millions who signed up for forbearance last spring are still postponing payments.
More homeowners are staying in forbearance, they're asking for extensions, and fewer are transitioning out of forbearance, fewer are resuming payments. So ultimately, more people are technically behind on their mortgages.
So what options do homeowners have when the forbearance period runs out? Our reporter Orla McCaffrey will have some answers after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
When the coronavirus shattered the economy last spring, mortgage borrowers were given a reprieve, up to 12 months of forbearance to help them cover other areas of their personal finances. But we're coming up on nearly a year later, and many are still struggling to recover. Our reporter Orla McCaffrey has been following this issue, and she joins us now to discuss. Orla, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So since the forbearance program was launched in March, about how many people signed up? It doesn't seem to have helped all homeowners get back on track.
Yeah, so at the peak, almost 5 million homeowners were signed up back in June, and the share has been declining pretty steadily since then. And yeah, for a lot of people, it has helped them get back on track. Some people kept making payments and just used forbearance as kind of a safety net in case they lost their income. And largely, it has worked out for people who have been in the program so far. They've been able to transition out and either make up the missed payments, spread them out over the term of their loan, or add them onto the back of their loan. But there's still a group of people in forbearance who have either signed up recently, or most of the group is in fact people who signed up last spring and whose financial situations haven't really improved since then.
Yeah, you know, we saw some signs of economic improvement over the summer. Things have deteriorated since then. Job losses are up, COVID-19 cases are rising, and people are pulling back on spending. How are we seeing that show up in the forbearance numbers?
So the change in forbearance numbers has actually tracked the increase in coronavirus cases pretty well. When we saw that surge in November that really started our current wave, that's also when we saw the share of homeowners in forbearance, that rate start to kind of stall, not really move. And that means that more homeowners are staying in forbearance, they're asking for extensions, and fewer are transitioning out of forbearance, fewer are resuming payments. So ultimately, more people are technically behind on their mortgages.
And just to be clear, we're talking about forbearance and not mortgage forgiveness?
There is a big difference between forbearance and forgiveness. Forgiveness is the case where you wouldn't have to make up any payments, which is not really a thing in the industry. The standard is forbearance, where you are able to delay or postpone payments for a number of months, and then you have a couple of options at the end of the forbearance terms on how to make those payments up. But you definitely will have to make them up.
You know, a lot of people exited the program and resumed making mortgage payments, like you said. And then within their 12-month window, if they fall on hard times again, can they re-enter the program, or what are their options?
Homeowners can use 12 months of forbearance as guaranteed by the CARES Act that was signed last March. The current deadline to sign up to request that is the end of February or the end of March, depending on the type of loan you have. Currently, the Biden team has proposed extending that deadline until the end of March for all loans. All federally backed loans, and the stimulus plan his team released includes a 6-month extension until the end of September, during which homeowners can apply for forbearance.
Oh, okay. So in the stimulus plan, is there any word or any sort of provision for people that are already in the forbearance program for an extension beyond the 12-month window that they're in?
There is not. Once you use those 12 months, it seems like you would have to ask the lender directly for a forbearance. They wouldn't be required to give you one, as many are now. One backstop is the foreclosure and eviction moratorium that President Biden wants to extend also into the later part of this year. So we definitely wouldn't be seeing a wave of foreclosures among the group of people who might use all of their 12 months, but certainly that's a big question mark.
Now, you spoke to some people who were in forbearance and then they were able to exit the program and then had some financial challenges. What sorts of things did they work out with their banks?
So the couple of people I spoke to actually didn't enter forbearance until the fall, or even one person earlier this year, because they were able to use their savings, or one woman used some money she was going to use to pay for her taxes. They were able to keep making their mortgage payments until it got to a point where they just couldn't. Their income hadn't really been replaced. It hadn't reached the level that it was pre-coronavirus, pre-pandemic. So they did ask for forbearance from their lenders.
And so what kinds of options do lenders typically offer?
So there are a couple of different options when you do want to transition out of forbearance. There's something called reinstatement, where you kind of just pay a lump sum of all the months that you missed, which of course isn't feasible for a lot of people because now this is months worth of mortgage payments. There's another option where you can tack the missed months onto the end of your loan. So if you missed 6 months, you can just add 6 months to the length of your mortgage term. And then there are other things like loan modifications, where you can have those missed payments spread out over a number of months or a number of years. So paying slightly more in the short term to make up for those missed months.
You know, mortgage forbearance was first offered in March, so the first wave of forbearance plans are going to expire in 2 months. What are you hearing from people who track mortgages about whether homeowners are in a position to resume paying? You know, how's it going out there?
Right. So because of the trend that, you know, the group of people in forbearance isn't really shrinking at the rate that it was before November, that means for those people in forbearance who have been in it since last spring, that's going to be a bigger group than maybe some people in the industry had expected, where they are facing that question, what happens after 12 months when the forbearance is up, but their income, their financial situation hasn't changed since they signed up last spring? I've spoken to some people who have been in forbearance long term, so basically since last spring, and their incomes have not recovered. They work in, you know, events or retail, and they're still not able to make these mortgage payments. So they are hoping for an extension of forbearance. But some folks in the industry who I've spoken to pointed out that maybe for people who will be struggling with their income long term, they might have to look at some other options, which in this case might include like a sale of the house at some point, which, I mean, there's one silver lining right now, because home prices have been rising a lot. So homeowners, if they did have to sell, would likely make a profit in many cases.
Now, what about people whose financial situation has improved since last spring? Is there anything that's keeping those homeowners from taking advantage of the program and, you know, riding it out as long as they can?
So right now, all you have to do to enter forbearance is call your lender if you have a federally backed mortgage and say you're having financial problems related to the pandemic, and they should be able to place you in forbearance. And I think a good share of homeowners use that latitude kind of as a safety net in the spring when things were really uncertain. They didn't know when they would be going back to work. They didn't know how long unemployment benefits would last. So they took out a forbearance and maybe used the money to pay down other debt, do other things. But the large, large majority of people who are still in forbearance right now are really needed. They don't have many other options.
Now, looking more broadly, the current issue of the forbearance numbers leveling off, how does this fit into the bigger picture of the state of the economy?
This is definitely a red flag, the slowdown, because the consumer says a lot about the health of the economy. And it comes alongside a number of other negative economic indicators that we've seen recently. Job losses, much higher claims for unemployment insurance. Retail sales were down last month. Just a bunch of things that show there's still a group and possibly a growing group of people out there who are still struggling.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Orla McCaffrey. Orla, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.